Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey everybody, it's Waiting here, and normally on Friday nights, John Pollock and I do Rewind of SmackDown, and that is typically reserved for our Patreon feed, which is postwrestlingcafe.com. Tonight, John wasn't able to join us due to just family reasons, and it's all, you know, very good reasons too, nothing to worry about. It's a celebratory occasion. But instead, I had Andrew Thompson join us, and I know a lot of people had a wonderful, wonderful experience listening to Andrew's thoughts on everything that's going on in the world right now on a recent edition of Rewind to Raw. So rather than, you know, put this entire episode behind a paywall, I wanted to at least make our earlier discussion, the first half hour of this podcast, available for everybody to listen to. So it encompasses maybe a bit of an update on everything that's been going on in the world from Andrew's perspective, as well as a bit of the news going on in professional wrestling itself and some of your phone calls. So just decided to do this, you know, because I think a lot of people should listen to it. And if you want to follow Andrew, you can find him on Twitter at AD Thompson, THOMPSON, __. Remember the double underscore. Okay. It's not just a one underscore. Somebody took that, if you could believe it. So our Andrew, unfortunately, is relegated to double underscore status. So hopefully someday he can get rid of all the underscores. But for now, it is at AD Thompson __. Hope you enjoy the conversation. And if you like the show, consider subscribing to postwrestlingcafe.com for just $6 a month, getting you a bunch of the shows. Of course, Rewind to SmackDown live every Friday night. Our MCU reviews, which culminate on Tuesday with our Endgame review, Total Recall, all of our Rewind to Ways, just a ton of stuff. Way, way more than you can ever get in real life for $6. What is that getting you these days? You know, like a vitamin water or something. Anyway, postwrestlingcafe.com. Enjoy. It is officially Andrew Thompson week here at Post Wrestling, straight off of a wonderful, fantastic appearance on the British Wrestling Experience. And who knows what else? He's been on a number of podcasts, I understand, this week. But saving perhaps, hopefully, the best for the very last on a Friday. We have Andrew Thompson here, Post Wrestling Zone. How are you doing, Andrew?
What's going on, Wade? Thank you for having me on, man. It's a greatly appreciated. Always a good time hopping on here with you or John, or, you know, the combination of both. And had a great week at Post Wrestling, I would say. And I had a real eventful week.
Very busy week. I mean, well, first of all, like how many podcasts did you do this week? I mean, outside of all your writing work that you've done.
Okay, on Tuesday, I did a podcast with two friends of mine that work over at Fightful, and then I did the British Wrestling Experience, and I did a podcast with a guy named Steve today, earlier today, and he was like a big fan of post wrestling. I think he's cool with Braden Harrington, and I did another podcast with another friend of mine before that, and then tomorrow I'm doing a Backlash preview show with another friend on Twitter. So they podcasted me out, man.
The man is an incredible demand. I really had no idea. I honestly felt really bad, like, you know, asking you, knowing that you like had already agreed to do British Wrestling Experience. And Andrew could have definitely said no, but he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And obviously, like, everything, you know, on top of all the work that you're doing writing for us and, right, you know, doing your own interviews, right? And of course, everything that else that's going on in the world right now. So I think, you know, again, before we like jump back into like the wrestling discussion, you know, your appearance on Nate on Rewind to Raw from several weeks back, I think had a really big effect on a lot of our audience. So this might be an opportunity for our audience to be able to at least catch up with you. You know, we're a couple of weeks removed from maybe, you know, some that last interview we did with you. First of all, how are you feeling right now?
Better than I was a couple of weeks back, because I feel like things have slightly progressed, but not at the point where it needs to be. I do feel like things have kind of like the tension has sort of went down, but like it feels like things keep popping back up and make those tensions rise again. But I mean, like overall, I do feel better like than I was a couple of weeks ago, because last week, you know, you just kind of feel drained and just like out of energy just from seeing everything that was going on. And like now I kind of feel like I'm starting to get back into somewhat of a similar groove that I was before, but still, you know, worrying about what's going on, of course, in the world.
As far as like, you know, the discussion that that you think has sort of been prevailing out of everything, and we're a couple weeks, I suppose, you know, into this entire thing, and it's important to understand that it's an ongoing process. Do you feel like that momentum is still up there? Do you feel like the topics that need to be discussed are being discussed at this point?
So as far as like the death of George Floyd, I feel like the media coverage and the protests as well, I feel like the media coverage has slightly went down. Like you don't see the protests that are still going on, like but they're still happening, but the media isn't covering it as much. And, you know, it kind of feels like people are like, because we've seen this in the past when these things happen and it's like a big uproar for the first week, maybe carries over into the next week. And then, you know, after that, everybody, you know, goes back to what they were doing and it kind of gets flushed to the wayside. But I kind of feel like with this, people aren't just like letting it go. And I really like that a lot, that it's not just being let go. And it seems like the media is trying to move on from it, but like the people are just not letting it happen. And that's one thing that I really like. And then not letting this man's memory just fade in, like, and, you know, just fall in line just with how things have happened in the past with similar situations like this. So I do feel like the momentum is still there, but not to the degree that it was a couple of weeks back. But I do feel like an impact is still being made.
What do you feel like have been like the biggest, I think, discussion points coming out of everything from your perspective?
The biggest discussion points probably would have to be like people needing to feel uncomfortable that don't like talking about these type of topics, because I feel like a lot of people, it's easy for people to like brush these things off and you know, not speak about it. But I feel like the more you make people uncomfortable and not necessarily in a negative way, but just making them realize what's actually going on out here and making some people realize the privilege that they do have. Like, so some people, like, I remember I did a, like, just talking to people of different races, particularly white men or white women, like, and hearing them, like, admit that they know that there's a white privilege there. And, like, I feel like that's a big sign of progression, because they know it's there. And, like, you like, just seeing how many, like I mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks back that we did on Rewind to Raw with Nate, John, and you, and myself. And we talked about how we're seeing so many young white women, white men and women, so many people of other different races and ethnicities coming out to support this one cause. And I feel like that's a really big thing that's going to eventually make a change, because black people have been trying to do this on our own for so long and it hasn't gotten anywhere, obviously. So when you see so many people from so many different races and ethnicities just come out to support this one cause, it can get the job done. And I feel like the only thing really left to do is just keep pushing forward, because if you just let this thing die down, then it's going to be another situation that's going to happen and start the whole process over, and it's a big recycle. So that, I think that's one of the big discussion points that's coming out of this whole situation.
I could say for myself, like, I mean, these past couple of weeks have been an incredible, like, educational period for me. Just like consuming as many, I think, you know, materials as I can to try to understand exactly what is happening here, why we've arrived at this point, and really going on to think about what we can even do about it. Like, if you could recommend perhaps, you know, at this point, any sort of like of the best materials you've seen that are out there that you would recommend for somebody to perhaps educate themselves further on what's going on in the situation. Because unfortunately, you know, what the way that I think news is, what the way that even Twitter operates, you only see like the most sensational things. You're only hearing about the protests. You're only hearing about like, you know, the violence that might be out there. But like not enough, I think, discussion is being placed upon why this stuff is happening. So is there anything you'd recommend?
As far as like why things are happening, I think that's like a thing just within the system or the police department, honestly. Like, and I think that's just a personal opinion as far as like why they treat Black people the way they do. I think that's just a system within that they have constructed somehow. And I don't know why it's like that, but that's just unfortunately what it is. And I feel like it needs to come from within in order for people to actually know why it is the way it is, if that makes any type of sense. But if I was to recommend something, there's actually a documentary on Netflix called 13th, I believe, and I think Ava DuVernay made it. And like, have you heard about it?
It's fantastic,
man. Like, highly like recommend that anybody go check that out. And you know, like, and there's plenty of like some of these threads that I like people are doing, like and some of like the viral tweets that people have, like they link a bunch of petitions to Black people that have lost their lives to gun violence by way of a police officer. And like, you can read some of the descriptions of what happened and what led to these encounters. And then that can lead to you doing your own research and finding out what happened to these people. Like, and it's just like, it's crazy to me, like seeing, like getting reminded of some of the things that have happened over the past couple of years that have kind of been forgotten about. Like, I tweeted out earlier this morning, like today, well, in a couple of days, it'll be the 5-year anniversary of the Charleston church shooting that happened in South Carolina, when the guy went in the church and targeted 9 Black people and killed them and admitted that he did it because of their skin color. And then just seeing how, and when you compare how he was detained opposed to as a recent situation with George Floyd, you see a Black man not resisting and he gets forcefully placed on the ground and have his life taken. And then you have a guy who walks into a church and admittedly tells you that he went in there and killed these people just because of their skin color. And then you detain him properly and, you know, ultimately take him to go get food because he wasn't problematic. Like, that's like quite, that just says like quite a statement to me. Like, the fact that they would treat this dude with so much respect after what he just did and admitted that he did it because of skin color. And then you have so many Black men and women that have been killed because of and are just detained forcefully and basically have their lives taken from that. So it's just like thinking about that comparison, just like it's crazy to me, honestly, just how seeing how things really are in America.
Are there any, you know, obviously, like, something I've learned is that these are issues that are embedded really into a system that has been created over 400 years. And so any solution that comes up is nothing is going to immediately fix whatever's here. It's going to just take perhaps that much time in order to undo it.
I had saw that you had quote tweeted something. I had actually quoted through you actually when Ali did an interview with Sports Illustrated, and he's a former cop, and he's literally telling people that they're designed to hunt people. Like, and this is coming from, and like, I think that's what needs to happen. Like, this is coming from somebody who was in the police force, and people, Ali wasn't just there for a cup of coffee. He was in there for like 4 or 5 years. Like, he knows what it is. And he worked in Chicago, and that's one of those cities where I know it's a lot of trouble there for as far as crime and situations of the sort. But I also know that police have a certain demographic of Chicago that they target, and they specifically try to get in trouble and put them in difficult situations where they know they can't fight back from. And I know that's just the fact of what it is. But you hearing that from a dude like Ali, who was in the system, and he's telling you blatantly that they're designed to hunt. And I feel like Minnesota, they're doing the right thing by defunding the police and building the police system up from the ground up. And then you train people properly and you let them know what it is and what they shouldn't do, and make sure you have the right people in there, do background checks. Because like, when you, like, honestly, like, some of these people that you are letting in there are racist. Like, you letting these people, like, it's just what it is. They're letting people in our race, and they're not doing the proper background checks to find out who some of these people are. Like, even I'm pretty sure you probably saw the video in Rome, Georgia. They had a KKK rally recently, and it was it's just crazy to me, like, how the KKK isn't viewed as a terrorist organization when they literally target anybody of color, like, you know, any other ethnicity. Like, it's ridiculous to me how the government views them as some, like, proper legal, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, but they view the Black Lives Matter move as some type of threat, like, or the Black Panther Party is some type of threat. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it doesn't take a lot to realize, like, what is going on, man. It's, like, ridiculous at this point. Like, just seeing, like, and especially that video specifically, because it's just crazy to me how, like, airheaded some of these dudes are, like, and it's just like
the fact that it even exists in 2020 anywhere in the world, especially, like, in America, like in a country that I think really has prided itself on, like, being, you know, a melting pot for all sort of ethnicities, and the fact that even something like that is still able to freely exist in this country is, it's ridiculous. I wanted to absolutely recommend the Ali video, and also the article he did on Sports Illustrated, but also again 13th, on which Neil has informed me is actually free on YouTube right now, the whole thing.
Oh wow.
So it provides, like, I think a great crash course on, like, how this stuff has been built in systemically from the very beginning. Last thing I wanted to ask you before we kind of move on and get more into the wrestling stuff, like, you know, as far as actions that are being taken right now, last time we spoke to you, you know, it had only been Derek Chauvin that had been arrested in the case of George Floyd. Now all four officers have been charged. There obviously has been, like, great public outcry for the arrest of the killers of Breonna Taylor. That's been really out there right now. What are some other actions that immediately that you would like to see?
I honestly just from off the top, I really want to see these people get put in jail. And that's what needs to happen first and foremost. Like, I read that one of the guys that was there when George Floyd was killed was released on a $1 million bond. And that's, like, just absurd to me, the fact that he haven't had the opportunity to get on bond, you know, like, it's and $1 million. I wonder where that's coming from, because I know that, like, it's just, like, crazy to me. And then it was actually a situation that I actually saw, and it kind of reminded me. It was a young man named Kendrick Johnson, and he was killed back. It was a while ago, and he got into an argument with a white male that they went to school together. They were in high school, and the other guy killed him and rolled his body up in a mat. I'm sorry if that's graphic, but that's what happened. And the guy's father was a FBI agent, and it's not directly confirmed. Nobody's confirmed, but it's kind of like people have just put two and two together that the guy just got off and nothing happened to him. And he did an interview a couple years later, and he was asked about, did he kill Kendrick Johnson? And, like, you get, like, it's not hard to read people and body language and how they can't even look you in the eye when you're just talking to them. And, like, he just, like, reeked, like, the just guiltiness. And it's sick to me that the fact that this man can go on and live his life and play college football and, you know, live a regular life. And then you got a young man who wasn't even able to graduate high school. Like, it's crazy to me, like, the fact that's like this man is, like, literally playing college football and has the opportunity to go live a life and probably have a family and do all that extra stuff. And, you know, like, that stuff is crazy. But, like, as far as action goes, to get back to your question, like, you know, again, I do feel like the main thing is putting these people in jail. But also, I think that the funding the police department and building it back from the ground up is the proper thing to do in the majority of these states in America, because I feel like there's no other way. Like, I feel like every other option has been exhausted. Like, the peaceful thing and being all calm and all that stuff, that has never worked, and it hasn't worked. And I feel like when most people want to, I feel like when they say you need to be peaceful in these situations, I feel like that's just saying you need to be passive and you don't need to fight back. And I feel like that's all they're saying, is just a nice way of saying we don't want you fighting back, so you need to relax. And I think it's just at that point where that needs to be done with. Like, it's either you do right by the people and put these guys in jail, and you can defund the police and build a system from the back up and teach these people who you're letting supposedly be protecting us and teach them the right way. And one thing that I really want, man, and I noticed this a lot, and just from growing up and just seeing like how it is, I really want them to stop putting these police officers who come from these strictly like one race backgrounds. And what I mean by that is like they grew up in an area and they all all they've known in their life is white people, right? And then you put them in a predominantly black area, they immediately come into these situations with fear because they think something's going to happen from because of what they hear on TV or what they read on social media. And that's one thing that I see a lot of cops get placed in these areas when they really shouldn't be patrolling these areas, because they're when you already a cop, I'm pretty sure most cops walk out with a fear every day that they might not be able to come home. And then when you have some of these people who they come into these areas where they have this inner feeling that something bad is going to happen, it ultimately leads to something bad happening. So that's what I kind of one thing that I really want as far as like a change from within the police system, if it was to ever be a change.
I know a lot of people will probably want to talk to Andrew. So you know what we're going to do this week? Rather than having everybody wait until the end of our SmackDown review to get the call, I will say, if you're going to call to talk about SmackDown, wait till afterwards. But if you wanted to just talk to Andrew about maybe anything in the world of in the world period, or even just in sort of a news, but not relating to SmackDown, you can Skype us right now at Post Wrestling. If you look on Skype, and we'll take some phone calls. But before we do that, let's get into some news of the week.
Shall we?
In the wrestling world, okay?
Shall we?
Biggest news, biggest story coming out of the WWE this week is the news that Paul Heyman is out of Raw as executive director, and Bruce Pritchard from SmackDown is in. WWE tweeted this out yesterday saying, in an effort to streamline our creative writing process for television, we have consolidated both teams from Raw and SmackDown into one group led by Bruce Pritchard. Paul Heyman will concentrate on his role as an in-ring performer going forward. Your immediate reaction to this, Andrew?
Wait, isn't it crazy how just last year Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman got appointed the executive directors of Raw and SmackDown, then 1 year later, Heyman's out, Pritchard's in, leading both. Like, it's crazy. I just think, like, I never think when there's these, like, big creative shifts in such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't never think that's a good thing. And I feel like, as far as, like, what Paul Heyman did, I feel like a lot of people kind of associated, like, seeing some of the newer faces on Raw, the Apollos, the Angel Garzas, the Austin Theories, the Andrades, and, you know, seeing the rise of Drew McIntyre, just the that Paul Heyman has had. You know, I feel like the diversity that Paul Heyman has brought onto Raw. And I feel like a lot of people associate that stuff with Heyman. So it's going to be interesting to see how things play out over the coming weeks as far as, you know, as Bruce Pritchard takes over from, you know, Heyman. And it's, I don't know, man. We're going to see. But I feel like, you know, Heyman did a really good job as far as bringing that diversity to Raw.
The biggest questions certainly are with, like, talents such as, you know, like an Apollo Crews and an Angel Garza, people who really have kind of received opportunities on SmackDown that you might attribute to perhaps Paul Heyman, but we shall see how far that'll continue. I'm certainly, like, you know, and John, like, wrote a really nice update about it on the site tonight. But, like, you know, he kind of hit the nail on the head. In the end, these are Vince's shows, and whatever Paul Heyman was putting out still had to be approved by Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
How much are these shows going to actually change? I don't really know. I do find it interesting, though, that Paul Heyman is no longer going to be in charge, and they do say that he'll be concentrating on his on-air roles. But what on-air roles right now without a Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, no, that's very true. I'm kind of interested if that means, like, he'll be doing something else, maybe, you know, being on the mic, you know, being the mouthpiece for another performer. Like, you know, like you said, we're going to see what's going to happen over the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Hanzi, you're on the air. Please unmute yourself.
What's going on, Wei?
Hey, Hanzi.
What's going on? Yo, I'll call back with the wrestling talk if that's cool later on.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Andrew, first of all, I gotta say, y'all, I've been watching some of your interviews, man. I'm glad you're on the team. And I really enjoyed you and Nate's chat with Wei and John. I'm someone that, like, kind of, like, you know, was brought into, like, kind of ignorance on from Western media. And I, again, you know, from where I'm at, from the fucking Stern Show, I was trained with that kind of ignorance, even in humor and all that. And the last couple of years, it's kind of been hard because I've been kind of getting out of that. And I find myself not being able to be as funny because I thought humor was only rooted in the most racist, homophobic, or misogynistic type of stuff. So, again, like, I'm glad that guys like yourself are speaking out. And I just want to know, like, what are you, like, again, I don't know where you are politically, right? But I follow a lot of leftist people, like, and that, not to be confused with neoliberal types who are on mainstream. And I follow them because I feel like they think that their movements get hijacked. And it's only meant for social influencers who get the credit and get the mainstream attention, but then, like, they don't really credit any of the grassroots movements that go on. And I just want to know, do you have any feeling about that? Because I feel like right now, with all these corporations saying Black Lives Matter and all that, it feels like we're in the Iraq War part of thing where all of a sudden people became anti-Bush during the mid-2000s, right? And then it just seemed blindly that everybody was going that route. So I just want to know, like, do you keep an eye out on people that kind of hijack the movement and kind of don't really have well intentions, or are you just kind of, like, taking it as is? And I apologize for running my time, but I just wanted to ask that.
Nah, you good, man. Firstly, you know, thank you for the kind words you said. I think it takes a lot for a person to, like yourself, to admit that they, you know, were brought up under those certain ideologies and mindsets, and, you know, admittedly have changed, as you said. So, you know, big ups to you for even, you know, being able to admit that. And as far as people who, you know, they want to promote Black Lives Matter as a way to fit in, per se, or, you know, just to mesh in with the status quo that what everybody else is doing. You know, I'm not, like, super, like, locked in on other people when they do that stuff. Like, I mean, I think it's corny, but at the same time, I'm not one of those people that's looking to hunt everybody that does that, or in my opinion, feels like they're just using the movement to, you know, promote their brand, or, you know, just it's no, like, genuineness behind it. So, I mean, it's like you can't really control what people do. Like, I feel like if I were to call somebody out on, you know, trying to use the movement to just, promote their own brand and stuff like that, I feel like it wouldn't change their mind regardless of whether I spoke to them or not about it. So I just try to just do my best to just focus on promoting it the best way that I can. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much the same for others as far as reacting to people who they feel like are being disingenuous with their actions.
All right. Thank you, guys. And I'll try to call back if there's time. But again, thank you for taking my call away. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you, Hanzi. Let's get back to some of the news here. We have NXT and AEW ratings, and this is from postwrestling.com. AEW fell to its third lowest viewership figure in history with 677,000 viewers on TNT and falling 7% from last week. In the 18 to 49 demo, AEW was down 21% with a 0.23 that still left them at 14th for the night on cable. NXT was down 6%, registering 673,000, so only 4,000 less than AEW viewers on the USA Network, but NXT was down 20% in the Prime demo with a 0.16, ranking them 35th on Wednesday's cable programming. We're not going to go too news heavy here, but actually, I think before we do our last story, Jake, I believe you're on this line. Jake, can you hear us?
Hey, gentlemen, good to talk to you again. Hey, how are y'all doing today?
How you doing?
Well, what's on your mind?
Good. Hey, I just want to say that it's been a few months since I've talked to you guys here on Skype, and I just want to call in and saying that thank you both for your thank you both, and as well as John as well, for your heart and passion on this huge issue. You know, I was, for the past couple weeks here in the Chicagoland area, I was as a photojournalist, I decided to cover the ongoing protest here at downtown Chicago and Michigan Avenue for my publication that I work with at my college here in Chicago. And it's been it's been a hell of a month for me getting to experience some of those and got a healthy dose of those pepper spray and some of the batons that almost got to me, but thank goodness I didn't get fully injured during some of those weekends. But it's tough. It's tough that we're still. I'm sorry, guys, a little emotional about this, but
take your time.
It's just, you know, it's tough that in the United States of America that we're still experiencing this kind of treachery that that we have in our society today. And but I just want to, you know, I always thought of wrestling as an escape for me and for many real world issues. But, you know, you just couldn't. It's just nearly impossible to escape this kind of stuff. And re-listening to your a couple weeks ago on Review of Raw with you guys and Nate Milton, it's just like just felt so better that just made me felt so better about myself and my confidence and what I should be as and how I should treat others as a human being. It's just really thankful that you guys are. Have your heart and passion this kind of issue. So, yeah, like, you know, the photos that I had in my social media covering the riots and all that. Like, you know, I just pray to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That I pray to be such a better person, so I can treat others. And also as well, like, you know, shout out to you know my best friend for ever since childhood. He is a black pastor for the church that I go to. And you know, a great quote that I got of him when I had him for coffee earlier today is that the only way that we can have reconciliation in our society is if we look ourselves in the mirror and just start being good to one another, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what color of your skin they are. Like, you know, like look at what Martin Luther King did and how much he loved and how much he showed God's love to all the people. So it's just I just want to say that piece out of my heart, Lord, for you guys. So it's been an honor. And then this stuff like this is why I'm so proud to be a patron for you guys and supporting you guys for many, many years. Thank you for your heart and passion for this. It's just so wonderful to see.
Thank you so much, Jake. Before you go, where can people find your work? I'm actually curious to see some of your photos.
Yeah, sure. Like, you know, I'm starting to upload some more of that stuff. You can find me on Instagram, at Jake and Ader 7. It's itsjakershere.mp4. Putting in the video chat. Here in the YouTube chat as well. And you can find me on Twitter at Jake and Ader 722. You can find all my opinions and all my proven points. You know, I'm not gonna stay quiet on this. Like, we had a huge spotlight on it last week, but this should not stop just for after a week. So this type of issue needs to continue.
All right, stay safe, Jake.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man.
Alrighty, so I think we're going to put a stop to the calls for the time being. You can call in a little bit later after we're done our review, because once I get to this next story, there's no way we can get back to a serious phone call, because our last story of the day, this is the big one, Andrew. The season finale of Total Bellas did a 693,000 rating viewers on E! That is more than AEW this week. That is more than NXT this week. And on top of that, they beat them not just in overall, they beat them in the prime demo. They did a 0.29 in 18-49.
Dude, Nikki and Brie Bella have an audience. They have an audience. Like, and that's just all of them. They built this audience. And I did the season 6 got renewed. I mean, for the next season of the show got renewed. And like, I don't see that not getting renewed anytime soon. Like, they just have a loyal fan base that legit loves them. So, and it's good to see that success, man. Like, it's always good to see people come from outside of the world of wrestling and just take off. And they've done nothing but that since leaving WWE full time.
I mean, I'm pretty confident in saying that. I feel like they've pretty much like formed their own audience outside of the WWE at this point. You know, it's very much more of an E audience, and you know, this season was nothing about wrestling outside of, you know, Daniel Bryan being a big part of it. But like really had very little to do with the WWE. And I think, you know, was primarily driven based off of several major life events and, you know, the, of course, Nikki's engagement to Artem and as well as the double baby news. But on top of that news, yes, they have been renewed for a sixth season. So that'll be coming up. And one final plug is that Paulie and I will have a recap of the season finale tomorrow on the Post Wrestling Cafe feed. So, Andrew, I'm sure you'll be paying attention to that. All right, everybody. So that was a preview, I guess you could say, of tonight's edition of Rewind of SmackDown. If you want to listen to the rest of the show, including our full review of SmackDown, the ridiculous Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, urine testing angle, fantastic AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan match, a bit of a preview of Backlash, as well as your phone calls, you can listen to the rest of the show and every edition of Rewind of SmackDown right on the Post Wrestling Cafe, which is our Patreon. And for signing up for $6 a month, you get every edition of Rewind of SmackDown. You get our entire archive of Rewind Away shows. You get Total Recall, the season finale of which we'll be releasing tomorrow. And Tuesday, it is our Avengers Endgame review. It is the culmination of it all. We'll be joined by myself, John Pollock, Nate Milton, Brent Chittenden, talking about pretty much the MCU as a whole, but specifically this fantastic 3-hour experience. So $6 a month, again, gets you all of that, as well as our entire archive of shows. So if you like what you hear right now, want to hear the rest of the show and a bunch of other things, I'm going to stop talking right now. Just go to postwrestlingcafe.com. Thanks a lot.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.